One of my favorite meditations over the years has been to meditate on the wondrous works of God. Our minds run out when we start thinking about what God is, what He does, what all He's done. It don't take you very long when you start thinking about God's creation to just start getting a sense of awe about it. I don't really know how anyone really looks at the creation of that God made and not conclude that He made it. I think you would have to really not want to believe there's a God to not be convinced that there was one. When I think of all that He done, and like I said, it's not hard for our feeble human minds to run out of how it could be. I don't know. You think about the sun coming up in the morning, and the fact that it keeps doing that, and there's understanding men's got by that, and that over the thousands and thousands of years that the earth has stayed in its orbit. it takes energy for motion. It takes a power to do that. To say that it happens and it just keeps going perpetually. There has to be a force that keeps that going, and it keeps going, and it's done it all my life. Night is followed by day, and the sun rises, and an energy causes that all to happen, and God does it. And some of us was talking, a couple of us talking last night, but storm coming up, and you can get a sense of littleness about a storm here coming, and it's just such a small area, but a storm seems so big. It's magnificent. You see all that clouds and all that wind and all that happening. You feel so small in all of that. And that's one very small part of what God has done. God has done such magnificent, so far beyond us. So far beyond us. What a wonderful big God there He is. He just, what He done beyond this, but beyond this planet, out in the, just so much that He's done. He created stars, and oh my, what a big God. And I like to think about His wondrous works. But He wasn't just satisfied to make all of that. He made us. He made us to be a part of it. And to enjoy it and to see it and experience it, and we run it. We run it. We went away from God. And yet God continues His wondrous works in the hearts of men. Have you ever thought about people? Lord, help us today to have the right mind and heart towards people. God's creation that He set above all other creation, of that He said it was very good. The crowning part of His creation was mankind. I remember years ago seeing this. I was driving through my hometown and I saw this drunk come staggering off the bank and fall into the road. And he was the typical stereotype of a drunk. He looked like one. He staggered like one. He was drunk like one. He was a typical drunk. And I remember as I drove by this man, I had a thought. What makes us different? What makes me different than this drunk? And I think of the wondrous works of God and how God is able to take a drunk and transform his life. You know, of all that he done, of all the great creation that he done, the one that touches me the most is what he's done for me. The wondrous works of God in my heart. That he was able to do what I couldn't do for myself. And he come and changed my life. What a wonderful work that he done. And to think that God can take all people, anyone, everyone that calls upon him, that he can take that person and make them different. He can change them. And to think that this invitation has went to all people. No matter what your race, no matter what your nationality, no matter what your background, no matter if you've been a drug addict, an alcoholic, no matter if you're a drunk, a thief, a murderer, a scoundrel, an adulterer, an idolater, you can be changed by the wondrous work of God. Isn't that wonderful today? To think that we can all, no matter who you are, as we look at those that are around us, Lord, help us to always see beyond what they are, but what they can be through the wondrous works of God. It's the hope of all of us. It's the hope of things. I know that the things are getting worse and worse, but I'd still like to say of the individuals that I contact and see, that there is still a wondrous work of God available. Oh, that we could tell the world to those that are depressed today, there's hope. To those that have been abused, there is a victory in life. To those that have deep bitternesses and wounds in their life, there is a wondrous work still for you. God can recreate. You know God's a creating God. God created all what a wonderful creation of God. But God can recreate too. God can restore, remake, reestablish. Of all the things that I've enjoyed meditating over my life, if being saved, this is the wondrous works of God and how he's able to work in people's lives. And I think of the scriptures many times of where the Lord did just that in people's lives. How he done a wondrous work in their lives. And of all the things he tried to establish, I think the whole idea of Jesus coming to this earth and showing his divine power in physical healings was nothing more than a statement to say, if I can heal the body, which you can see and feel and understand, I can heal your soul, your spirit. I can change you and make you something different. To understand that if he can do that with his body, he can do it with the soul. Surely he can today. I'm thinking of a scripture, I believe it's in Ephesians. Second chapter of Ephesians. Oh, I want to pick it up in the 19th verse. It says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." Well, they must have been then at one time. There must have been strangers and foreigners. But he said, you're no longer. Because God has a way of being able to change. You know, we talk of the blessingness of being together. People understand that. The world understands it. There's something special about being able to get together and work together and being able to knit. I think the whole world understands the value of teamwork. Well, of what one person can do, two can do better, and three can do it better and more efficiently, And the world can look and see there's a value in that. The world has a sense of camaraderie. There's something valuable about having a friend. There's something valuable about having people around you that share in your life. There's something valuable about all of that. But it's hard to obtain. Understand how hard it is to obtain? For people to really have that together, you have to have a center cause, but not everybody sees it the same way. And it's like that. I don't doubt the heart of people that want the country to do better. I don't doubt the ones that see it differently than I do. On the political scene, you have people I know, I've known them in my life, of people that I know was sincere that wanted life to be better for everybody and want this. But as I look at it, I don't agree on how they want to get there. I don't agree at what they think is going to get us there. But at the same time, I don't doubt their idea that they want it to be together. We have different opinions. But God is able to make us fellowship. God's able to bring a true fellowship. And that fellowship that God brings is because of His work. What He does, His wonderful work in our hearts. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together. You know, in a building project, you have, I know there's some people here that's familiar, very familiar with carpentry. You know, there's real techniques in getting joints and moldings and stuff to fit like it was almost at one piece, fit together because of the cut, that the cut is so right, the angle to one another fits tightly. It's together. Good carpenters are able to do that. Now, I don't hardly finishing never been something that I do well. I'm a slap and put together kind of guy. It's good enough with me. But there's those that have an eye and a taste, a touch for it. I remember one time I come up and it was Brother Dan, I was at his place and then he had doing some work there, and I come up and he had put a coat of finish. It had already been stained and he put some finish on it, and I come up and I said, "Oh, that's beautiful." It was a beautiful work. And I said, "Well, that's beautiful." And he says to me, "Oh, Brother Marty, I just got started. I've just got started." He said, "What I'm going to do is that this is going to dry, and then I'm going to sand it, and I'm going to put another coat on it. And then I'm going to put another coat on it. So I'm going to put about 5 coats on this." Oh, and he said, "If you think it's, now," he said, "you wait. It's going to really be that." And I said, "Brother Dan, you're talking to the wrong guy. Trust me, you've got it as good as you're going to get it to me." No, he said, "No, you're going to see the difference." And I said, "No, I'm not going to see the difference." I said, "But I believe you'll see the difference. I believe somebody that really cares will see the difference. But that's as good as it's going to get for me." "No," he said, "you wait." So he went on, and I'll be honest with you. You can only go so good with my eye. It's only so important to me. But to him, the master, he saw it. It had depth to it. There was something more to it, you see. God knows how to fit what He's wanting to do. Do you realize God wants to cut you just right? You know, any time that we're not cut just right and we don't fit just right, God wants to work that and fit us just right. And anywhere where there's division and strife and that kind of stuff among us, folks, God hasn't perfected that work. Because when God cuts it right, it fits together. And God wants a people. He wants them fitted together. He wants us to be able to work together. We have the same heart and mind. Does it mean that I put my shoes on the same? No. It doesn't mean I have to tie my shoes like you tie your... I don't comb my hair like you... Of all that. But no, but we have a spirit that the Lord wants to do it right. And Lord, help us to realize, you know, there's a lot of things that we'll let bother us in life that shouldn't even bother us. Because we all have a different perspective of things. I'll give you an example. Several years ago, I was in the Neosho area at Monarch Time. We were there right before Monarch. And some of the young people at Monarch, or at Neosho Congregation, had got a burden that they was going to hand out leaflets, tracts, flyers, inviting people to the camp meeting. So they made up the camp meeting flyers and had a bunch of them, and we was going to go out and hand them out into the community, inviting people to the meeting. Good thing. It's a good thing. Well, when they did this, the young people looked at it and this and said it'd be good to have contacts on there. So they put some contacts on there. And they put some of the young guys that was coming up there at the time, they put the young guys' names on there, and they put things out. Well, later, there were some older folks of the congregation seeing these flyers, and they looked down at the contacts, and they was upset. And they said, this was the comment. After all the years that Brother Veda was still alive in there at the time, Brother Austin was there at the time, and after all the years that these two brethren have been faithful, they were faithful brothers. I know they were very faithful brothers. And all the years that they've been there and been faithful to the congregation and done all that, and then it comes down and they put these young guys' names on the bottom of the flyers. No, that's what it happened. But it was a total difference of opinions. Understand, there was no malice in either side. The young people looked at it and said it was a duty. None of them wanted to do it. None of them wanted their names down there. But they said, we'll take the duty. And if there needs to be a contact, let's not bother these old faithful guys. Let them bother us. It was total a duty. But the other one looked at it as honor. You're not honoring them. And when they looked at it, they said, well, why would these young people put their, instead of putting the older ones there? And both of them, there was nothing wrong with that. And what I'm saying is, Lord help you and I. It isn't what it always looks like or the way you feel about it, about what it is. Some people will look at it as a duty, and somebody else will look at it as a honor. So how do you deal with those kind of things? We need to be made of the Lord to fit one another's life, to be willing to give where we need to give, to be willing to love where we need to love, and accept what we need to be right in the Lord. Lord, help us. I've known different times in my life where, tell on myself a little bit, but I come around to these meetings and times, and I'm always balancing when I come and when I go. And when I go to the next meeting and when I go home. And I try to balance that with my children's emotions and what they're going through in their life and what we're going through. And I try to make a decision about what I need to do. And I really am the only one that can do that. Now, I appreciate everybody else's input to it. But to be honest with you, I'm going to have to be the one to make that decision. And I was talking to my sister about it one day. And I said to my sister, you know, it gets to be quite a pressure when somebody is trying to make you stay, when you know you gotta go. And it's almost as if somebody's trying to run your life. And I told that to my sister, and my sister says, that's your perspective. Yeah, okay, that's my perspective. She said, there's probably people out there that would be upset if somebody didn't make over them and want them to stay. I said, you know, you're right. She said, that's really an honor to you that somebody would want you to stay. Right again, but I'm looking at it as you're trying to dominate my life. And I dig my heels in somebody trying to run my life. But really, there's a suggestion of we really like you and we'd like for you to stay. We appreciate what you do, and if you could stay, we'd. You see what I'm saying? Lord, help us. We've got to be together, folks. We got to be together. We are together. We're to be cut together. The Lord's wondrous works is that He can take of all people, all people. He took a mountain boy from West Virginia. And He can knit him into, knew nothing about the Lord growing up. Nothing about it. And was able to take him and knit him in with Oklahoma folks. Some of them been saved most all their lives. Knew all together different cultures and ideas and ways. And He can knit us together. If we'll allow the Lord to help us in our hearts and in our minds. To make us, to cut us together. You know that it's always been a truth. And we accept this truth. We have no church to join. It's the Lord's church. And the Lord puts the members in His body as it pleases Him. He puts them in their place, in their way. We are offered to every blood was one fellowship. And the Lord's able to make us, cut us, that we fit one another's lives, that we learn. Lord, help me not to be abrasive. Help me to have my corners sharpened where I got to be sharpened. That I might fit my brother. That I'm not abrasive in it. That I'm not trying to take up more space. You know, people that get pride and become, they take up space that don't belong to them. We're part of a joint effort. Something God wants to do. And the miracle of being able to take a brother from Mexico. He fits that brother in with us and us with him. He can take somebody from Africa. He can take somebody from other land all over and different ways of being raised up. And He brings salvation to them and cuts them and molds them and fits them. And they fit right in with us. Same heart, same mind, same spirit. You know what every block is? A part of Christ. A part of His body. It's when Marty starts showing Marty instead of the Lord to where we don't fit. Understand what I'm saying? I start not fitting real well. Because Marty's going to have his way. Rather than seeing the mercy and love and tolerance and genuineness of the Lord. I start showing my own attitudes and ways and stuff. I'm going to bulge out of my area. And I'm going to cause trouble in the area. But the wondrous works of God was to fit us. You know, understand what I'm saying. We're all a piece of material in the building of God's house. And it's a piece that needs work because it don't fit in. But the Lord's able to take a drunk and make a pastor out of him. Brother Sammons was a drunk. He was a piece of raw material. And the wondrous works of God got a hold of him as he yielded himself to the Lord. The Lord got a hold of him and made him into something that was a fit for God's kingdom. I have been blessed. He's been gone for a number of years. And I've still been blessed by a life that fit in to the Lord's work. Lord, help us. Of whom all the building fittingly framed together groweth. I want to think about the word groweth a little bit. It groweth. You know, this process that the Lord has started in the building of His church is ongoing. There's still blocks to be put in. It groweth and it groweth and it's going to grow till judgment. There is places yet. Do you know there is? I pray there's still places around my life to where the Lord's going to put in another block of material. I'm not talking just about cutting my life with it. I'm talking about there's individuals. I hope and pray there's still individuals that I'm going to get a contact of God's people. that I'm going to have to get right up close with. I'm going to have to work with. I'm going to have to be a part of. And I want to be fitted with that brother's life. I want to be able to have what the Lord has for me that I can fit right in there without abrasiveness and fit right to that brother's life, because it's one of the greatest experiences to be able to meet and live with God's people. He said it groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. It says, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. This is where God wants to dwell and live, in these fitted blocks. These fitted people. People. You say, well, I got some people I can do pretty good with, and I got some people that I don't do so good with. The Lord wants to fit us all in together. Another scripture I want to look at is over in 1 Kings. 1 Kings, the 6th chapter. This is the time that it came for Solomon to build the temple. And you can go back and read in the 8th. Well, let's read some of it, starting with the first verse. It says, and it came to pass in the 480th year after the children of Israel was come out of the land of Egypt, in the 4th year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month of Ziph, which is the 2nd month that he began to build the house of the Lord. And the house which King Solomon built for the Lord, the length thereof was 80 cubits, and the breadth thereof 20 cubits, and the height thereof 30 cubits, and the porch before the temple of the house, 20 cubits, was the length thereof according to the breadth of the house, and 10 cubits was the breadth thereof before the house. And for the house he made windows of narrow lights, and against the wall of the house he built chambers around about, against the walls of the house round about, both of the temple and of the oracle. And he made chambers round about. And the nethermost chamber was 5 cubits broad. Middle was 6 cubits broad. And the third was 7 cubits broad. For without, in the wall of the house, he made narrow rest round about. And the beams should not be fastened to the walls of the house. And the house, when it was in building, was built of stones made ready before it was brought hither, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron in the house while it was in building. Now you go on and look at the design of it, pretty in depth on making it. And it was all made. He said that they cut the stones to fit. Yes. Now this says two things to me. Then I think that the analogy is a true analogy. Do you know we're all individuals? You're an individual, and you have a life that you're going to be responsible for. You have as an individual, you're made of the Lord. You're cut of the Lord. You're forgiven. You're given gifts. You're made individual. You can go as an individual. We're not always in a camp meeting setting like this. There's times that I'm the only block of this temple that people's going to see. I'm that individual. I go out where I live, I go out to the stores and to the people around about there, and they don't see the whole vision of all of us. They only see me. That's individual. Every one of the parts of this temple was made separate from the temple. Every one of them was individual. There was individual stones. There was a stone that was perfectly cut. Every mark on it, every place on it, it was cut. And it was cut to fit a particular part of the church, but it was cut independently. And if you looked at it independently, you would see a part of the church that was perfectly cut and designed to fit the church, but you could also see it individually because it's made individual. Beams that was made were cut. There was no, the axe was cut and the tools was used and it was used to make it and it was perfectly fitted. Can you imagine what it must have been? I'm going to tell you, I'm pretty impressed by this. We do it all the time in modern world. Bridges are built, buildings are built. A lot of things are fabricated to fit exactly, made to exactly fit things. You make something, this is supposed to exactly fit. I think on some of the install work, which I never was part of, but understanding how it works, go in and measure off a room, get all the dimensions, build the stuff and go, and it's supposed to fit, right? It's supposed to fit. What do you do if it doesn't fit? You cut, you... But you know, this says they didn't do that in this house that they made, this temple was made. God has an idea that it's supposed to fit, but if it doesn't fit, God wants to work on, well, He wants us to fit into this. But I'm curious though about this because the idea that it was individually made makes me to know that, and it was cut to design. God wants to be able to cut us, work us, make us to what God wants us to be. It's a wonderful work of God that this individual block will stand. I'm going to stand before the Lord as my block that fits into His house. I want to fit into the work of the Lord. There is things that I haven't understood. I'll be honest with you. There has been things when I got saved that I did not understand. And I said, if God's people, when God witnessed to me the truth and witnessed to me the church, and I accepted that fact, then I said I am willing to humble myself and go into accordance. And Lord, help me to have a deeper understanding. But until that time, I want to be fitted to this people. I want to flow. I want to work. I want to be able to be a part of this work that you have. And it doesn't, these things are trivial to me. I want it enough. Lord, would you cut me to fit? Cut those sharp angles that need it. Cut however it is. You know, there was different angles and different ways to fit in, and every piece was pre-cut. That this is where you belong. This is where you belong. You belong in this. Little do we know sometimes the way the Lord begins working with us. I never had an idea that I would be a minister. And I'm going to tell you, it shocked a lot of people. My family and the people I was around, that guy, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that I went to school with. I know they said it. That was one of them. I was kind of even embarrassed that she even lived in the area over there. But we moved over from Webster County, which was, you know, over in central West Virginia. We moved over to eastern part of the state where Pocahontas County is. And there was a girl that I was in high school with and knew me from high school. She moved over close in the area too. And I didn't even hardly want to be here. I just didn't hardly want to be around her. And every once in a while, people that knew her and knew me, I mean, the church had met, and she would say, and sometimes I would just say, that was a different guy. The old guy she's talking about was a different guy. He wasn't fitted. See, he hadn't been cut for anything yet. That was the old guy. There's a new guy now. He's been fit. He's been cut. He's different than the old. He may have been made different than that. A lot of people there, but I never had an idea. But the Lord knew. The Lord began to prepare. The Lord began to work with me. And you know how the Lord worked with me? God wants to cut you to fit. He wants to cut you to fit. You know, the biggest part of it is to say, Lord, put me. Lord, put me in the house. Put me in the building. Do your wondrous works on my heart. Lord, you can have me. I'm going to tell you, told this story many times, but this was who I was. When I was in high school, I was backward. I was shy about things, not everything, but things. It was hard for people, those kind of things. And when I was about a sophomore, the teacher in one of our classes made everybody every year that was in her class do an oral report. Oh, she was dreaded. You didn't want her, but I got her. So I'm going to have to do an oil, 3-minute oil report. And you was, she gave you the things. You were supposed to get your report done, time it to about 3 minutes. And then there was a proper way of giving the report. You gave the report as you read this speech. You read it and you made eye contact, and teaching us how speech and do that. I'm going to tell you, I still don't do that. And the only way that I can do anything is with the Lord helping me, giving my heart. I don't have to have it written down, because what I'm trying to say is from my heart. It's what I really believe in. It's why I want to give it to you from my heart. But this young guy back there, I had to do a speech. And it come my time to do it. I had dreaded it. I got up to do it. And I was so excited that I just took off talking real fast. Just to get it over. Just as fast as I could go. The whole class erupts in laughter at me. Laughing at me. Which was the thing that I dreaded. I humiliating myself. So I had to stop, and the teacher gets everybody quiet down. All right, go again. I think I went faster the second time than I went the first time. They all erupt in laughter. Everybody's laughing. And the teacher says, okay, Marty, just sit down. You can try tomorrow. And I said, no way. I do it now, or I never do it. So I did it. And I would never have wanted to do it again. And I thought, I'll never do it again. I'll never give. I will never, ever give myself the place to be humiliated like that. But you know what happened to me? I run into causes that's bigger than me. I run into something that's more important to me than being humiliated. Yeah. I run into something that I would be willing to face the idea of failure all my life to gain. I want to be saved. And I want to please the Lord that saved me. And I run into something that I was willing to say at one time when the Lord dealt with my heart about getting up and preaching. I had to say, Lord, I will do whatever you want me to do. And if I fail and humiliate myself every time I do it, Lord, I'll do it for you. And I still mean that today. But I come to that kind of place. And the Lord knew what was in my background, and He knew what to deal with me. The Lord did not just call me and me get up one day. The Lord worked line by line with me in my life. The Lord began to give me little exhortations and little thoughts and to do little things and those kind of things. And the Lord worked with me to get me to the place He wanted to fit me in to this body. He wanted me to have a job to do. He wanted to bless. But I didn't have the capability to do it. I didn't have the capability to be able to learn how to get there. But the Lord, in His wondrous works, designed my life and got me to there in that life. And He did it by taking me one step at a time and getting me to that place to where I could do it. Remember one time, my ministry, the way it worked out for me. Brother Tony said to me one day, he said, we need an adult Sunday school teacher. I never taught anything. He said, we need an adult Sunday school teacher. And I said, I'd be willing. I don't know why I said that. It come out of me so fast that I almost wanted to try to grab the words before they got to his ears. So I get that back. He said, would you really? I said, yeah. And I went away from there saying, boy, did I mess up. Did I really say that? Well, it was a couple of weeks, and I had almost no preparation other than the Lord preparing me. That week, the Lord started stirring a thought on me, and I'm telling you, boy, it was hot on me, this thought was. And usually, I just ate my own those thoughts up the Lord gave me for my own life, and I just kept them. But this Sunday morning, I get a phone call. Sunday morning, folks. Not back in the week. Sunday morning, I get a phone call and said, We need a teacher today. We need an adult teacher today. Oh, I said I'd do it. And he said, do you have anything? As a matter of fact, I do. Been chewing on all week. You know, it was the beginning. I went and did that there that day and then taught Sunday school for 5 years after that. And in that process of time, my sister used to say, well, we hear two messages now. Because I got real preachy with my Sunday school. The Lord would give me these thoughts and I'd get this. And what I'm saying is, the Lord was working to fit something, to make something, to create something. The Lord knew how to do it. I didn't know what he was doing or seeing it. But there did come a time. There did come a time that there was a way open. And the Lord had been working and called and the way was open. I know it's different in different people's experience. But I'm going to tell you my experience. I never did say to my preacher elders, Brother Tony, Brother Sam's, I never said to them one time of what the Lord was doing. No. They knew it before I did. They already seen it. I never said, I feel like the Lord's got his hand on me, call to preach, Brother Sammons, would you help? I didn't do any of that. And I know there's a different way. I'm just saying my experience. Brother Sammons knew it before I did. Yes. Brother Sammons was the one that was saying to people, Lord's hand's on him. Now he's going to move out. Before I was ever preaching, one day Brother Sammons looked at me at Monarch and he said, Brother Marty, one day you'll stand in that pulpit giving the word of God. Oh, wow. But the Lord witnessed and worked because I needed to be formed to that. I needed the confidence of it. I needed the Lord's work. The Lord knows. It's a wondrous works of Lord in our lives. And every one of us have a job and a purpose and a place to fill in his kingdom. And it groweth. It groweth. It's still growing. But the Lord is making you in your own personal life. Your own personal life, the Lord cuts you. Your own personal life is where you're faithful. The own personal life is where you learn the Lord, where you learn confidence in the Lord. You know where I was able one day to really stand up and preach? I'm telling you my experience. It was because of the way the Lord dealt with me. You know how the Lord dealt with me? Of years of me getting to these places. Lord, Saturday, late Saturday night. Lord, I've sought you all week. Yes. And I've got nothing. Yes. You know what I look for? I don't have to be great big things. All I look for is the inspiration of the Lord. When it comes, I know the inspiration. And all week, no inspiration. Lord, I need to be inspired by your word. Nope. Nothing. Through the night, Lord, inspire. Sister Maxine, have you ever been there? Lord, inspire something to my heart. The people are waiting. Inspire something. Nothing. Next day, Sunday morning, Lord. Lord, what am I going to do? Am I going to have to admit defeat here? Do I go to service today and say, I have no inspiration? Lord, help me. Nothing. Lord, the Bible's full and none's alive right now. Lord, give life to something. Getting desperate. Do you know I've been on the way to the car before? I'll take it further. I've sat down in my seat with songs being sung, saying, Lord. And the inspiration come. You know what? The Lord did that for a reason. He toying with you. He wants us to believe in him, have faith in him, trust in him, of his wondrous works. God's never late. He never fails. He's not human that he forgets. He wants us to trust him no matter what and go there. And over again, the faithfulness of God was shown over and over and over again. The faithfulness of God was shown in my Sunday school ministry. And of all the years, I'll testify to you, not one time did he not inspire my heart. And then the Lord would do other things that I just marveled at. I have given a Sunday school lesson and go back to my seat, and the Lord give me next week's. Now, if I had any way to do, if I had my say, it'd be that way every time. I'd love to come to a camp meeting like this with a notepad with 10 messages in it and all of them inspired. But it don't work that way with me. I have come with 4 or 5 before. I have, and they're all inspired. And I say, Lord, it don't work like that all the time. He says, I like this. And other times, the inspiration come in a moment right before the word is said, it's time for the word. And inspiration fall. God's doing it. He wants us to trust in him. He's cutting us and forming us in our personal life so that we can fit the body and be an inspiration to all. But you know what I found out when the Lord gave me a Sunday school lesson? The Sunday before? I learned to say, Lord, give me grace for this week. Lord, help me with the things that's going to happen this week in my life. Because generally when I got it early like that, boy, I was going to have a time. So much so that I didn't have time really to seek the Lord the way I wanted. And the Lord would give it, and I would be in so much stuff happening. And again, the Lord wasn't toying. The Lord wanted me to see his hand, his control. He wanted me to understand and know that he was God. I like telling this one too, and tell on Brother James. I'm glad for the experience and the way the Lord cut me. Yes, amen. I was holding a revival meeting one time in Sepulpa, and I was at the house, and Brother James had went to his jail ministry, and he calls back, and Sister Tricia says, oh no, he needs somebody to go in with him. You don't have anybody. You got to go in by twos. And would you be willing to go in? Well, I was actually wanting to go, so it worked out well for me. But the Lord was dealing with me about a thought, and I felt like it was so inspired for the night service. Well, he ended up saying, well, you want to go in? Yeah, I'll go in. So I went into the jail ministry with him. We go in there, and they're in they call them pods, and there's these men in these pods. And the first pod we go in, and they have a lesson. They had this little lesson planned out and all this, and the guys got around, and Brother James started with the lesson. And the lesson that he was given was what the Lord had been dealing with me with. It was amazing. It's the same scriptures, same thoughts. Well, about the second time, at the end of the one, he says, well, Brother Marty, you have something to share with the men? And I said, well, as a matter of fact, I got a little something that fits in there. The Lord gave me some inspiration. Then about the third one, Brother James walks into the guys and says, well, you know, meeting each other, and said, this is Brother Marty. He's from West Virginia, and he's got a message for you. Well, I do have something I want to share with you, and I was able to share it. But you know what happened at about 5 o'clock that evening when we got through? My burden was gone. I had no inspiration left. The inspiration that I had, I thought was for service, was for the jail. And I was dry. And I had nothing. And I started trying, and at 7 o'clock or something, I'm going to be at service, and I don't have anything, and I started getting... And I'm glad for the experience of many, many years of the Lord trying to make and form. But even at that, there was that, oh Lord, I need something. I need something. We was on the way to service, and I'm still not inspired. Lord. You know, I'll be honest with you, the thought come to me, I'm worried. And it felt like the Lord spoke to me and said, I'm not. Oh, that's right. You're still God, right? You still can handle it, right? You know what the testimony of that meeting was? The best service of the meeting was the night that I was out of the way. Totally. The Lord blessed, inspired and blessed. And He can do that. And folks, we're individuals made by the Lord's hand. His wondrous works to create an individual. And He does it in our relationship with Him. He does it individually as we love and serve and want to be faithful to the Lord. He makes a block that fits in His house. And it fits perfectly, Brother Philippine, with you. We fit together. Why? Because we love the Lord. We seek to please the Lord in our lives. And when there is that difference of opinion comes in, there's still the desire that I want the Lord more than anything else. Lord, how do I please You here at this time? How do I work through this? Lord, fit us together. Make us what to be. If you got rough edges today, you know the Lord wants to work them rough edges off. God wants to be able to fit us in. Do we become that blessing, that encouragement, that help, that stone that sits there solidly, right there, it's cut perfectly. It fits in there perfectly. Can you imagine the idea of this? All this pre-made stuff comes in. And every one of it has, in my mind, as they made it, this is a ceiling beam marked. This is where this goes. This is one of the side blocks. This is a rock. This is it. This is something that's got an angle on it. It's a little more complicated. It costs a little more. This beam means hewn down places. There's places that the Lord says, I'm going to cut this out of you. Yes. All the other beams have it, Lord. Right? Not all beams have a notch cut out of it. Yes, but I'm putting you in a special place. And you're going to have a brother that sets into you. I've had them. And you got to be special cut for them. You know what I'm saying? There's a special cut there for that. And I want you to be that. And do you know what? When that brother's not in there, the world sees this beam with a notch cut out. What's that notch for? He's for special brothers. God, I'm spatially cut here. You know, not every stud in a wall is a weight-bearing one. Not every point's a weight-bearing to hold the structure. Many of them are more for holding the looks. Not all of them is structurally, but there is some that's made stronger. Why they're made stronger? More weight going to be put on them. And there is pre-cut. What's that big old heavy solid thing? What's that for? Lord, you're cutting me awful thick here. You're cutting awful. We'll put a lot on you. You're going to be able to hold up things that others aren't meant to hold up. Well, why can't he hold it up? He's never was cut to hold it. You're cut to hold it. I'm making my... God makes His church out of individuals. You're an individual. Cut for that place the Lord wants to put you in. And of all the wonders, of all the mighty works of God in my life, it's where the Lord's done those wonderful works. Those mighty things that the Lord does. Lord, help us today to be willing to be what the Lord wants us to be, that we might fit that place. Some of these things are cut pretty thin, folks. to take and absorb up where other things have to be bigger. This has just got to be smaller. What do you mean clean the bathrooms? Seems awful small. I'll cut you thin for it. You need to do it. I'm minded of Brother Lewis Kimball. I think most of us remember Brother Lewis. He told me when he went into the ministry, boy, he said I had the zeal. I remember him telling some young ministers this. He said, I had some zeal. And I was ready to preach the gospel and win souls. Said Brother Herschel, said, Brother Lewis, said, got a meeting going on up here. Won't you come and help us? Oh, he sees it too. Brother Hargrave sees it too. He ready to go. Going to preach the gospel. Said he got up there and Brother Herschel says, now, we need somebody to do young people's for us. He said, young people's? He said, but I'm ready to hit that pulpit. I'm going to do some preaching. You do young people's? Ah, young people's. That's not what I'm here for. Yeah. He ended up saying, I guess that's what I'm here for. You know, the Lord was building something else. Yes. He's making something else. But he needs some preparation time for it. So he gave him something else to do. You know, within this place that we occupy, every job's complete, can be completed. Everything can be done. Lord, help you and I to fit. Lord, help us. Cut me to fit where I need to fit. I think we're all supposed to have compassion, don't you? But isn't there some that seems to be more compassionate? It seems like that their place desires or needs more compassion. There may be what we call straight talkers. Are you willing to accept those straight talkers? No! No, wait a minute. What if the Lord cut it for His church? It's possible. It's possible that the Lord has those one fitted in there to simply say it. Is that all right? If the Lord did it, it's all right. You know, there's a fitting of all of it. Sometimes I need somebody to just say, hey, it's all right. Brother Stanley Dixon was out here one time, and I really appreciated this. He come to me and he put his arm around me right back there as we walked out. And he said, Brother Marty, could I tell you something that I've seen under the sun? I said, I wish you would. So he walked out and he told me some things. And I said, Brother Stanley, I won't take it lightly. You saw some dangers coming my way and appreciate it. And by the help of the Lord, we'll do something about it. Why would I shun that? Maybe he was cut for that moment. For me, he fit me. He fit me. If I'm humble, we fit together and work together. Lord, help us. I hope you get my little burden today. The Lord has a temple that's, it says it groweth. Into. It's still growing. There's more people to be saved than put into us. And when you get somebody new saved, sometimes they don't understand and they don't look just like a saint and they all this. That's all right too. Cut us, Lord. Cut us to fit. Help us be what you would have us to be. And this thing will grow up into a magnificent, beautiful thing. And guess what? My little humble part is a blessing. Lord, help me. That I can say, I'm a part of the church of God. Thank you, Lord, for cutting me to fit that. Because if it hadn't have been for His wondrous works in my life, I would still be a sinner. If not dead, I'd still be a sinner out there doing everything wrong and not fitting with anything. But the Lord has fitted us. You pray for me.